Could I welcome you along to our harvest service this evening? We're glad to see you, and we trust that the Lord will join with us and that he'll warm and bless our hearts as we hear the word of God this evening. We're going to commence our service tonight by singing a beautiful harvest hymn, the hymn 732. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. The hymn 732, and we'll keep our seats while we sing. Was good singing. There's a few very high notes there in the middle of those verses, but you managed to reach them well. We have much to give thanks to God for, and it's good to praise him with all of our hearts and all of our souls. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. Let us commit ourselves and our meeting to the Lord this evening. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy love towards us. We thank thee for drawing us this evening into thy house. We thank you, Lord, that we come tonight laden down with praise and thanksgiving. We recognize that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from our Father above. We thank thee, O God, for the bountiful harvest that thou hast given to us this year. We recognize that while the farmer must go out and plow the field and plant the seed, yet we also recognize that it is thou that causes the seed to burst forth, that sends the summer, that sends the rain, and brings ultimately the harvest. And we thank you, Lord, for thy goodness towards us, for the food that has been safely gathered in. We recognize this evening that without thee we cannot even draw our breath. And so, Lord, we thank you not only for temporal blessings, but we thank thee most of all for the gift of salvation. We thank thee for that day when we came to the foot of the old rugged cross. We recognized we were sinners before thee. We looked by faith unto thee. And we thank thee that the burden of our sin rolled away. And we rejoice this evening that because we are in thee, there is now, therefore, no more condemnation. We recognize, Lord, we have much reason to praise and adore thy great name. We thank thee for this service, and we pray for thy presence. We do remember each who would take part this evening. We remember those who will minister in song. Lord, bless them in their souls. Take the words that they would sing. Apply them by thy Spirit even to our hearts this evening. Remember especially the one who will take up the word. We thank thee the word of God is like seed. And we pray that thou wouldst help him to scatter the good seed in hearts even this evening. And that it go as it goes forth, that it might spring up unto life eternal. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be with us here this evening and that thou wouldst bless our waiting hearts, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. It is my joy to welcome back to our service this evening our sister, Mrs. Joanna McCammon. She has been with us and sung with us here on several different occasions. We've always been richly blessed through her ministry. And then after she sings, the Reverend Greenfield is going to come. We do thank our brother. Not only is he our preacher tonight, but he's also our soloist. And he's going to come immediately after her and sing. And then rather than me having to come back to the pulpit, our brother will come immediately after that and do the announcements. You see my face every Sunday, so I'll give you a break, and I'll not be coming up in between. So I'm going to ask our sister to come and minister to us at this stage.
Morning, new mercies I Amen. Thank Joanna very much for those lovely messages and song. May the Lord bless them to all of our hearts. You know, God is faithful, and how faithful the Lord has been to us, even in the year that has gone by into eternity. It's lovely to be at the harvest service and to think about God's faithful provision for us. And you know, when men and women were very, very worried and very concerned and about what they were going to eat and what they were going to put on, the Lord Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. He says, they toil not, neither do they spin. But even King Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these.
Consider splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant or sow. They're fed by the Father who watches them grow. For we have
thinking, just as our sister was singing that lovely hymn about the faithfulness of God, of a dear friend, a pastor who was very well known around Northern Ireland, and he died a relatively young man, and he had a tumour on his brain, and he lost sight, and he was lying in the bed in the hospital, and he called a friend of his to come and to see him. And he told his friend, this pastor friend, he says, I want you to preach at my funeral. And he says, do you see that wee hymn? Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. He says, you tell them that every word of that hymn is true. That was the late pastor Ivan Thompson, godly man, great used of God in evangelism. But he had that hope and that faith, and he knew that God is faithful, and he had promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when we think about the goodness of God, we ask ourselves the question, who am I? Who am I that the Lord Jesus Christ should come all the way from heaven's glory to suffer and bleed and die for a sinner like me? When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace on my Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself the question, who am I? Well, who am I that a king would plead and die for? I may never know why he ever loved me so, and to that old rugged cross he'd go for. Who am I? Then I'm reminded of his word, I leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Well, who am I that a king would flee and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will thine for? The answer
Well, I'd like to give everyone a very warm welcome along to this, our harvest service. You're most welcome as you've come along tonight. There are a few visitors with us tonight, and I'd like to welcome you along as well. We're glad to see you. I'd glad to see you online as well. If you've joined with us, may the Lord bless you as you join with us in this harvest service. And we pray that the Lord will bless us as we have met together to thank him for his goodness to us at this harvest time. I'd like to thank Reverend Greenfield for coming along tonight as well. He's no stranger to us here. and pray that the Lord will bless his ministry among us both in word and in song. Lord bless you, brother. I'd like to thank Miss McCammon for coming along as well and for singing to us, and we pray that the Lord will bless your singing here tonight as well. So just a few announcements for the incoming week. First of all, our harvest services continue tomorrow. At 11:30, the guest preacher in the morning will be the Reverend Ian Harris. At 7 p.m., the guest preacher will be the Reverend John Morrow. And you're all invited back again for both of those services tomorrow on the Lord's Day. The guest singer tomorrow evening will be Mrs. Natasha Atchison. And both services will be preceded by the time of prayer at 6:15 in the committee room. Then the incoming week will be a week of gospel meetings from Monday the 11th to Friday the 15th each night at 8 p.m. And as we've already announced, Dr. William McRae will be the evangelist for that week of meetings. If anybody needs transport to the meetings on any night that week, please do contact Mr. Robert Russell. And of course, this being the harvest, as you look around you, the church has been nicely decorated. I would just like to thank those who gave us their time on Friday evening, both to bring items along and to decorate the church in such a manner. It's much appreciated. Thank you very much. There are still leaflets on the hall tables there. If you wish to give invitations to people to come out to this week of meetings, please do lift some of those cards and bring them with you. And pray for the meetings that the Lord will bless his word and save sinners. That's what it's all about this week. It's a week of gospel meetings, and we pray that the Lord will bless his word to the salvation of souls. Thank you.
Could I also just say a word of thanks to her sister and to her brother for those messages and song, and certainly our hearts were warmed as we were drawn to think upon the Lord and upon his love for us, even upon the cross. We're going to sing together another hymn. It's a hymn 230. Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Hymn 230 will keep our seats again while we sing. Moment, our sister Joanna is going to come and to sing to us, and then immediately after she sings, the Reverend Greenfield is going to sing, and then he's going to bring to us the Word of God. I would like to thank her brother for giving us Saturday night to come along and to open the Word of God. He probably thought a couple of years ago when he retired that he was going to have a nice, easy, comfortable life. But I know that he's always on the go. He's now also looking after our congregation in Ballinahinch as well. And I know that his wife hasn't been that well this week. And brother, we do appreciate you giving of your time to come. And we're looking forward to hearing the word that God has laid upon your heart. I'm going to ask Joanna. There you are. You're going to be denied a treat. My fault, I probably told her she'd just sing in tune, and I'm putting her on the spot. So our brother's not going to get a break. He's just going to have to come now and preach, and then he's going to sing to us. Sorry about that.
Now, there's no rest for the wicked. Not what they say. Now to come. Well, you're learning something tonight anyway, because the Bible talks, you know, about sending forth the trumpet sound. And it talks about the beautiful silver trumpets. And it's lovely to hear our sister Joanna, her lovely, sweet voice. But the Lord uses a ram's horn as well. That's like me, like a ram's horn, so I do my best. The Lord Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? Of course, it would profit him absolutely nothing. And think of those words from Mark 8 and 36. If you listen to the words of this gospel hymn.
If all the wealth of this to thank Reverend Thomas Murray very much for the invitation to come
and to be with you tonight at the Harvest Thanksgiving service. And as he says, I thought it was going to take life very, very easy, but we've been very busy, and I was with our brother, the Reverend William McCrae, last night over in Ballinahinch. He was preaching for us there, and he's in good form. I says to him, William, how long are you ordained? He says, about 50 years. I says, well, if the Lord spurs me to December, I'll be 50 years. Imagine 100 years between us in the pulpit when we look like 25. You can't tell you. But he was preaching really well, and we trust the Lord will bless tomorrow, and then in the ensuing meetings, that the Lord will indeed bless richly here his word as it goes forth. I'm reminded of our brother, late Reverend John Wiley. On one occasion, Mr. Wiley was asked, the lady says to him, Mr. Wiley, she says, are you very busy this harvest season? He says, madam, he says, I'm so many harvests, I'm going to buy a combine. So there you are. So that's what it feels like. It's good to be with you tonight. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, for two short scripture readings. First, in John's Gospel, chapter 4. Gospel according to John, and chapter 4. And we're going to read some verses from verse 34. John chapter 4 and verse 34. The word of God says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And then if you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 35. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 35, the Word of God says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his own inspired and his infallible word. Perhaps we could just stand together, please, for a wee word of prayer and ask God's blessing upon the ministry of his precious word. Amen. Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank and praise thee again tonight for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, that it is thy presence and thy presence alone, the Bible says, that maketh a feast. And we thank thee, Lord, that when we are gathered together in thy name, there art thou in the midst. And we thank thee, Lord, for the gospel hymns that we have been singing together. We thank thee, Lord, for the ministry and song. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word. And our Father, as we come now to consider the word of God, we pray, Lord, for help from heaven. Lord, shelter us tonight beneath the precious blood of Christ. Cleanse us through and through. Grant, Lord, that we might be clean that bear the vessels of God. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. And grant, Lord, that you'll touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar and help me to preach Christ in all his fullness and in all his glory. And should there be one in our service this evening or one watching online, still out of Christ, without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge now, O God, we pray that even this very night they may come to know our Saviour as their own and personal Saviour too. Be with us now, Lord. Shut us in with thyself and bless our fellowship together around thy word. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Well, in reading those passages of Scripture, we are reminded that all through the Bible, there is much said about the harvest and the harvest season. And it's a wonderful thing when we think about the changing seasons of the year and how good it is to remember the goodness of our God. Way back in the Old Testament, we read there about Ruth and Boaz and Ruth gleaning in the corners of the harvest field. Read about that wonderful love story of how she met Boaz, a mighty man of wealth amongst the people, and how she became one of those names in the lineage of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we think about the Savior himself as he, with his disciples, went about the villages and the cities preaching the gospel of his kingdom, and how even he walked with his disciples through the cornfields. And much is said and much was said by our Savior in the days of his flesh about the good seed of the gospel, the good seed of the word of God, as Peter says, that liveth and abideth forever, about the good seed being sown in good ground and bringing forth an abundant harvest. But I was thinking, you know, as the seasons pass and as the years pass by, we realize that the promise of God is true. Way back in the Old Testament scriptures there in the book of Genesis, you remember in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, God gave a gracious promise to Noah, and he said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. This is God's promise to his people, that while this earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. It's good to remember that in these days of extinction rebellion, in these days of insulate protest, it's good to remember that God says that while this old earth remaineth, the seed time and the harvest and the cold and the heat, well, it shall not cease. Sometimes when we hear all the arguments about climate change and the climate warming, we realize, you know, in many ways these folk don't realize how warm it's going to get. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and 12, he says, I'm looking for and we're hastening to the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God promised Noah. God put a rainbow in the sky, and every time we see the rainbow, we remember the goodness and the grace of God. And God said, no, I'll never destroy the whole earth with a flood again. But one day, the heavens, the earth as it is, it will be purged by fire. That's the day that Peter is talking about. And time goes on and it passes by. And the Bible speaks about one day, there's going to be the last harvest season. Over there in the book of the Revelation, in Revelation and chapter 14, the Bible reminds us that there's going to be a harvest, and that harvest will be the final 1. Revelation 14 and verses 15 and 16. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. There's a harvest that is spoken of in Scripture that will be last, that will be final. And at many harvest services, we hear the message preached from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 8 and in verse 20, where the Word of God says there, Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You see, there's coming a last harvest. And the Bible says that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a last harvest. And sad to say, for many men and women who have heard the word of God, who have attended gospel meetings, who have come up through Sunday school, who have had maybe faithful parents who taught them the way of salvation, who have heard time and time and time and time again that they must repent of their sin, that they must come to Christ, that they must be saved. Sometimes we realize that the day of opportunity can pass by, and the harvest will be past, and the summer will be ended, and the cry will go up, we are not saved. Isn't that a tragedy that men and women who hear the gospel and who know the gospel and they're still not saved? With all their opportunities, with all their privileges, with all these things, there's a harvest that's last. There's a harvest that will be past. The old hymn writer put it like this, almost is not to avail. Almost cannot avail. Sad, sad, the bitter wheel, almost, but lost. But the Bible, as we have said, has much to say about harvest and harvest time. It speaks about the last harvest. It speaks about the harvest and the gospel that can be passed. But it speaks about a harvest that is vast. And that's the harvest that I want to think with you about this evening for a moment or two. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he told the disciples in John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The Lord Jesus is telling his disciples, there is a harvest. There is a harvest across this world. And he said it is a vast harvest. But I want you to notice that when we read these words, we read first of all about a great temptation. A great temptation. Jesus says to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." Bible scholars and teachers tell us that that was a common phrase used amongst the people. It was, as it were, a form of procrastination. And they would look across the fields and they would realize it's coming harvest time, but they would, as it were, shrug their shoulders or laugh it off. Well, there's yet 4 months, but plenty of time. There's yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Like the story about a preacher. And he said, you know, I'm going to write a book about procrastination, but I keep putting it off. I keep putting it off. Well, you see, men and women in this world, we're very, very good. We're adept at putting things off. There are things that we don't want to do.
There are things that are a real chore to us, and so we keep putting them off. But when it comes to the gospel, we dare not be like those men and women in Jeremiah's day who looked down to Egypt for help, who listened to the false prophets for help, and then they said the day came along when the harvest was past, when the summer was in, and they were still not saved. And beloved, tonight, you could be in such a situation. You could be in a situation like Felix of old, when he heard the Apostle Paul preach the Word of God over there in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And Paul reasoned with him and preached to him and told him the way of God's salvation. But Felix did not come and receive Christ as his Savior. Rather, Felix said, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Acts 24 and 25. Paul, when I have a more convenient season, I'll put it off until then. Then I'll call for thee. But we never read that convenient season came as far as Felix was concerned. So I would say tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, don't you say, well, I'll wait to some night during the week of meetings. I'll wait until tomorrow on the Lord's day. Friend, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And as the hymn writer says, is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. The Lord Jesus Christ is freely offered to you in the gospel, in this gospel service this evening. He is passing this way, and you have to cry out like Bartimaeus of old. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar who sat by the highway begging, he cried, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. He grasped the opportunity. He called out to Christ. He didn't put it off. He realized his time had come. His opportunity was there. The moment was there. And he called out to the Lord Jesus. And thank God, he received his sight. So to dear unsaved tonight, friend, don't put it off. But the Bible speaks, Christ is speaking here to his disciples. And as far as the harvest of the souls of men and women are concerned, they stood, they viewed the natural harvest, but there is a spiritual harvest. Jesus says, don't be saying, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, they are white already unto harvest. Sometimes, even in our own Christian lives, there are things we put off. There are people we know we ought to speak a word in season two. There are people we feel the Lord would have us invite to a gospel meeting. We sometimes feel, as the preacher would preach, well, I ought to spend more time in prayer. We sometimes feel, oh, I really need to read the Word of God and to feed my soul on the Word of God more than I have been doing, because it is the bread of life. But there always seems to be something to encroach upon our time and take up our days, and we don't get round to it in our Christian life. But the Lord Jesus says, don't be falling into that great temptation. Jesus says, here's a gracious truth. Jesus says, the fields are white already to harvest. The fields are white, already to harvest. They tell us that when the corn was white, it was almost overripe. It was almost lost. So there is no time to be lost in gathering in the sheaves of the golden grain. It's time to go. and work, the old hymn says, for the night is coming. But when you think about the realm of the harvest, as far as time is concerned, from that first, what the theologians call proto-evangelism in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Lord said that one day the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent and tell about a Savior who would come into the world and save men and women from their sins. And all those mighty men of God who preached the Word of God throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, the prophets of God, and the men who heard the Word of God and who came to faith, thank God, we tonight are in the same harvest. We think about the great evangelists who have lived in bygone days, and we talk about the Wesleys, and we talk about Calvin, and we talk about Whitfield, and we talk about the great people who preach the Word of God. And we don't know how many generations are to come if God tarries. But as far as time is concerned in the realm of the harvest, it is vast, from the first sinner ever to be saved, until one day when the last sinner is saved, and then the Lord Jesus Christ will be called upon by his Father to thrust in the sickle and to reap the final harvest. The hymn writer says, when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, all the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. It's vast. Ripe, it's, well, it could be lost. And as far as we think about this world, it's a harvest field in Northern Ireland, in England, in Scotland, in Wales, in the south of Ireland, across Europe, in North America, in Canada, South America, from the Orient to the Occident, from one end of the earth to the other. There's a vast harvest. Souls are drifting downward. Precious souls for whom Christ died. We have got to carry the message to those sinful hearts of Jesus Christ, the crucified. It's a spiritual harvest. Men and women need to be saved. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the world and would lose his soul? People live for luxury and fame, for pleasure, for possessions, for position, for power. But what would it profit them if at the end of the day their immortal soul was lost and out into a lost, Christless eternity? The things of this world would profit them nothing. And the Lord Jesus reminded us here in this gracious truth that the fields are white and they're ready to harvest. He says there are rewards in this harvest field. He says there, he that reapeth, in verse 36 of John 4, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Oh, dear friend, the saying is true, one soweth and another reapeth, but it is God that giveth the increase. He used to say, you know, it's a wonderful thing in the work of God if you are the final link in the chain. Oh, but we love to be the final link in the chain. There are people who hear the Word of God, maybe brought up in the Word of God, Sunday school, sat at their mother's knee, heard the gospel. There are others who never heard it, and somebody witnessed to them in their place of work. Somebody took them to a gospel meeting, and then someone who witnessed to them, and then an evangelist preached the Word of God. And then some dear counselor, maybe in an inquiry room, had the joy of opening the Bible and pointing them to Christ. And we love to be the last link, but we've got to be a link, whether it be the first, the second, the third, the fourth, or the last, that we might bring men and women from darkness to light, from the power of sin and Satan unto God, to bring them out of this morass of wickedness and sin in this world and see them born again of the Holy Spirit of God and cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. But you notice there's not only a great temptation, there's a gracious truth. There's a grievous tragedy. We read there in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, the harvest in verse 37 of Matthew 9 truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh, this is a tragedy concerning men and women who are lost, because Jesus, as he taught the people in those days and he preached the gospel of the kingdom and he healed the sick, it says in verse 36 of Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Lord Jesus looked to the multitudes. And as he looked to the multitudes, he could see every one of them individually. And he knew all about their lives and their backgrounds and their state before him. He says, they're like sheep that have been scattered abroad. There's no shepherd. They're like those who are sick. Does not the Bible teach us we are not only sick, as Isaiah says, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, we are covered with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up or mollified with ointment. But we're not only sick, but the Bible says spiritually we are dead in trespasses and in sins. And the Lord looked at the multitudes and he had compassion upon them. And it's a tragedy concerning the laborers. The laborers are few. Remember many, many years ago when I was studying for the ministry in the Free Church, I went over on one occasion. I went over to the missionary training college or to the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade. They had a beautiful holiday home on the Firth of Clyde. And some who were missionary students and ministerial students, we went there to work for 3 or 4 months during the summer period. And I was told, they'll not give you any money, but they'll feed you. And that'll save your parents having to provide for you. So away we went. And the boys, we had to cut the grass, clean all the windows, wash all the dishes for 200 people who were there as guests, breakfast dishes, dinner dishes, and the evening meal, and that's why my hands are still soft and smooth. And that's the way we worked. And the young ladies who were there, missionary students, they prepared the meals, they cooked. And the boys, we were supposed to be handy men. We were supposed to fix anything that went wrong. But there were good days. And we heard some of the great missionaries who had come home from the Belgian Congo who had survived in the terrible uprising. But some of the things that struck me were some of the beautiful hymns. Have your eyes caught the vision? Has your heart caught the thrill? To the call of the Savior, will you answer, I will? Oh, the Lord spoke to Isaiah, and he said, whom shall I send, and who will go for me? And Isaiah cried, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. He went forth. Ezekiel says, God sought for a man. God sought for a man to stand in the gap and to intercede for him. Wonder would God find someone even tonight in this meeting? The wee children's chorus was, Lord, use me. Here am I, use me. Across the street, or across the sea, Lord, here am I, use me. Can I just close by saying, there's a glorious treasure. The Lord looked upon those folk who fainted, who were scattered, who are like sheep having no shepherd. And what a wonderful thing when they would hear the gospel of Christ, the gospel of his kingdom, and repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in him and be saved for time and for eternity. Does not the sweet psalmist of Israel say there in Psalm 126 and verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I said that the Lord mentioned there were rewards for those who would serve him, who would labor for him. The Apostle James writes in his little epistle that we, the husbandman, must first be partaker of the fruits. He waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. And why the Bible says that they that turn many to righteousness shall shine like the stars in the heavens. And he that winneth souls is wise. Let us as the people of God realize there is a harvest. As McShane said, he could hear the tramp of Christless feet on the broad road that leads to eternity. And he wept, and he prayed, and he preached that they might be saved. May we fulfill the Great Commission, and in our own way, with our friends, with our family, with our loved ones, present to them the Savior who is able to save, thank God, able to keep, and who will one day present us all faultless before his Father. May the Lord bless these few thoughts tonight from his word to all our hearts for his own dear name's sake. Mr. Murray.
Do thank our brother for coming this evening and for bringing to us the word of God. And I trust that we who are Christ, that we might be ready to go to answer that challenge and to take the message of the gospel. Of course, the Lord may not want you to go to the ends of the earth, but we think even of the meetings that we have coming in the next week, he would have you to go to your neighbors, to go to your friends, to give them an invitation to come and to hear the glorious message of the gospel. We're going to close our meeting. We're singing just two verses of the hymn 233, singing the first two verses. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Hymn 233, singing verses 1 and 2, keeping our seats while we sing. us just bow together in prayer. And as we do so, could I say, if you're here tonight and not saved, and you would like to know Christ as your Savior, then we'd urge you not to leave this meeting without the Lord. I'd be going to the door. Our brother will be here at the front. And if you would like to speak to either of us about any matter, feel free to speak with us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the opportunity that has been ours of hearing the message of the gospel in song and then expounded. We thank thee that thou art a God of grace, mighty to save. And Lord, we pray that before the harvest passes, that that soul who perhaps has lingered long, that they would run and seek thee as their Savior. Help us, Lord, who are thine, to recognize also that the harvest is passing, and help us to reach out to see our families and to see our friends brought to a saving faith in thee. We thank thee again for thy goodness. We pray that you'd be with us tomorrow. And so, Lord, we ask that thou wouldst part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory.